Several years ago, there was a show that has since run its course. I don't know if you ever had the chance to see it. The show was called My Name is Earl. And basically, the premise of the show was pretty simple. There was this man who won the lottery and was so excited that he won the lottery that he ran out of the building he was in and instantly got hit by a car. And he spent days in the hospital and all of a sudden kind of realized and created this view in his mind that he had been this horrible person. And that because of that, he'd gotten hit by the car, and he needed to take the rest of his life and his money and to work through all of the bad things that he had ever done. So he made a list of all the things that he had done wrong over his lifetime. It was quite the list. It was very creative and interesting. And each episode, he would go and try and find one of these people or organizations that he had hurt or wronged, and then would try to take his time and his money to make up for it. And this view, as he called it, and it's a very predominant view in our culture, is called karma. The basic gist of karma is this. If you do bad things will happen to you. But if you do good things will happen to you. Now, as good Christ followers, when we think about this, we know that this is probably not accurate. It's perhaps maybe a New Age postmodern view of a works theology that says we've got to earn something. But at the same time, if we're also honest, there are times that we believe and think this way in our lives. Even in the midst of some of our challenges, in the midst of suffering, we might say something like, why is God doing this to me? Why did God allow this to happen? Why is this happening to me? We say some of those things, and in the midst of our pain and suffering, it's very natural, but we don't quite think about it. And we kind of live in our pain and our suffering and our guilt, and as bad things happen around us, we wonder what's wrong with us or what's wrong with the world. And while these may be natural feelings, they don't always allow for the opportunity for God to work in the midst of things. If we limit our feelings and our emotions to these sentiments, we miss out on some incredible opportunities. As we look at our first reading for today, it's the story of Job. And this is kind of the end of the story as we know it in Scripture. And certainly there are many amazing stories in Scripture. If you're not familiar with the story of Job, Job has us really all beat, if we're honest, in terms of suffering. He goes through all sorts of things at the hands of the evil one, essentially loses everything except for his own life. In the end, as you see in this reading, he kind of comes around a little bit towards the end in the midst of his complaints. And if anyone had the right to complain in Scripture, I certainly believe it was Job. But he comes around in the end and he said, you know, God, I didn't really believe in you, just what I had heard about you. I didn't really see it. I didn't really get it. I didn't really understand what was going on. But he says, now, after all of this, I really see you. I really know you. Author Max Lucado, who writes many, many books, once said this, the next time you are called to suffer, pay attention. It may be the closest you ever get to God. That there's something in the midst of our suffering as we look at the image of the cross. There's something in the midst of life that we see and we all of a sudden recognize that we can see God in the midst of these things. And if we limit our emotion and we limit our experiences to the wrestling with the suffering, we miss out on something that God might want to do. Our passage in 2 Corinthians is a familiar story. In the NIV translation, the verse 5:17, we talk about it, we memorize it, we recite it all the time in the Christian church, that if anyone is in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. I love this translation, a new life burgeons. You see, the real story is that God takes all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the suffering, the joy, the victory, and everything in between, and he takes it and he makes it new. He takes whatever is happening around us, if we're willing to watch and look and listen and seek him, and writes a brand new story. Our nice religious word for this is to redeem or for redemption. That God redeems all things. God makes all things new. In many ways, it's very opposite of this view of karma that says we get what we deserve, and if we're good, we get good, and if we're bad, we get bad. 2 Corinthians reminds us of the truth, that God has washed away our sins, that God has taken those away from us through the power of Christ and has made us new, that we don't have to judge our life and live our life on that. And I'm not suggesting that we don't have honest repentance, that we don't recognize our sins, that we don't turn. But if we live in our sin and our guilt, we miss the opportunity for redemption. We miss the opportunity for the new story that God wants to write, the new thing that God wants to do in us. Sin and consequences, natural consequences, are a part of our world. But in each and every one of those moments, God is there walking alongside us. Not just providing healing or hope, but also providing an opportunity for redemption, to be redeemed, for a brand new story to be written. And that's our choice. Our choice is whether or not to engage with what God is doing, to look for, to seek, to be a part of the new story that God wants to write in our lives. It's an amazing thing when God does that. It's often very surprising. I met with somebody this week who had been through a very negative experience working for a faith-based organization and had lost their job, and said, you know, I'll be honest with you, for months afterwards I questioned God a lot, a very natural response. And I realized that I had been faithful and maybe God had not been faithful. And I wrestled with that and I wrestled with God. And it's a natural response, even though we know somehow God is faithful even when we can't see it. But sometimes in the midst of our pain and suffering, we're not easily and readily able to look for where God is being faithful, where God is writing a new story. It's very natural to blame ourselves, to blame God, and to blame others. But if we stop there, we miss the best part. We miss the Easter part of the story where God does a new and surprising thing. Our gospel lesson for today is a phenomenal lesson, and I love this because Jesus offers a plain and simple message here. There's a blind man, and there's lots of stories of the blind man, and the disciples ask, okay, why is he blind? Is it because of his sin or because of his parents' sin? Whose fault is this that this man is blind? Now we know, and Jesus clearly says, by the way, there's no cause-effect here. You're missing the boat. You're asking the wrong question. Now we know, we smart, educated people who know science and who understand how these things work would never look at somebody today who is blind and say, what did they do that God has punished them? We know that. But there are still these ways in which we miss the boat. There are some of us who maybe believe that because in order to feel like we're blessed by God or to know that God loves us, you know, we believe in this prosperity gospel that some preach, that wealth and health and all of those good things are a sign that you've received God's favor and that God likes you better than somebody else. I used to have a friend in one of my churches I worked with, and whenever I would go somewhere with them, they would pull into a parking lot and they would instantly pray for a close spot, a close parking spot. Now, we can pray to God in all things. I do certainly hope that God is busier or has better things to do than that. God cares deeply about every area of our life, however. And when she would get a good parking spot, she would say, God likes me today. I'm one of his favorites. And, you know, I had to bite my tongue, and sometimes, as you probably suspect, I didn't. And, you know, we do. I mean, and it seems innocent enough that we have these mindsets. We have these mindsets when something bad happens to somebody, you know, God is just giving them what they deserve. Or when we see somebody whose family looks much more perfect than ours, we go, what did they do to earn God's favor? When all the while, they're just pretending better than us today. And we have these views. We even go so far to have a view that says certain sports teams win or lose because of God. Maybe because of what a player does or doesn't believe or how they do or don't express their faith. And it all seems innocent enough. But when we live in that, when we fully embrace that, we miss the point. We miss the point of the story. We embrace this heresy called karma that says it's about earning God's favor. It's about doing good because we get good. It's about avoiding doing bad because something bad might happen to us. And we miss the whole point. You see, because God not only wants to bring healing and hope to everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, but God wants to write a new and amazing story. The individual I talked about just a couple moments ago who had really struggled and wrestled with God we talked, and I said, well, tell me where things are at now. And it was amazing to hear the stories of encounters with people as they prayed and things that had happened and sermons that came at the right moment and worship songs that came on the radio at the right time, how God was trying to write a new story. And I said, so what's the story now? Are you done with ministry? Are you done with the church? And he looked at me and said, no, we're going to go to Europe and serve with this mission organization. And I'm more excited about God and ministry than I've ever been in my life. And we talked, and both of us recognized readily in that moment that that's a story that neither of us could have made up, that that's a story that only God could write, that in the midst of pain and suffering, in the midst of everything else that happens in life, God is there ready and waiting, looking to redeem it all, looking to write a new and powerful story. Not just so that things can be good for us, but that so God's love and grace may be known. And not just to us, but that so that God's love and grace may be known to the whole world. And so when we experience these stories, not only are we supposed to live in them and rejoice and fully embrace them, but we're supposed to share the story as well. We're supposed to bring that story to light and recognize that it's God that has done this, that it's God that has written this new story in our lives. Because as long as God is in the world, there is light. That's what our lesson reminds us. As long as I am in the world, there is light. There will always be light. And it may be hard to find in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our challenges. And we may need to work really hard at it. We may need others around us to help us, to point us to the story of God, because we all have a story to tell. And God is writing a story in our lives. He's writing a story in us, around us, and through us that is powerful, that is amazing, that is life-changing. And this new story is often surprising. Much like the blind man. It's a surprising story. Everyone that knew him was surprised. They didn't believe it. But my favorite part of the story is not just the blind man gets healed. It's the way that Jesus does this. It's fascinating to me. I mean, Jesus could have done it any way. You know, he could have been like, be healed. See. You know, or touch my cloak. But instead, he spits in the dirt and makes mud. It's a good thing the guy was blind, right? And he makes the mud. And it's fascinating because God is so creative and writing these unique and powerful stories in us that are so amazing that we just can't begin to see or expect. And I love that. I mean, these people were shocked that this guy could see, even the people who knew him well. And then he tells the story. I wish they said more about this part. You know, what was their response? Well, this guy kind of made mud or clay. He called it clay. He didn't know, right? It put this clay on me, and I'm good. You know, they're going, is that the water? My foot hurts? Do I put my foot in the water? You know, they're wondering. And we miss this when we focus on the wrong part of the story, this kind of view that we get what we deserve or we're being punished or God's out to get us or life is picking on us. We had one of those moments recently where everybody in the house was sick with something different. You know, so it's like, okay, boom, one, two, and they seem to come in threes, right? You know, it's like, oh, you got to get the car fixed for $750? Great. Oh, the dishwasher broke? Oh, great. Oh, you know, the dryer broke? Great. You know, happy week to you. You know, it seems to come in chunks. And even I get caught up in that sometimes and go, what's next? But even that kind of thinking misses the point, misses the story, misses what God wants to do and how God wants to redeem all things. And you've all experienced that in one way or another. If you look back at your life story and look at what God has done in your life, you can find those moments, whether it was physical healing or a relationship or how you came to find your career or your job or your spouse or how a child was born or something that happened. You will see a story that is surprising to you, that God did something in a way that you couldn't believe. And not only was it okay, but some amazing things happened as a result of it. And I love that. That's what God wants to do. Not to be out to get us, not to fix this or break that, but to engage with our lives and His life is happening with us and to us and for us, to walk alongside us and to write a new story. I grew up in a small town, and so everybody knew everybody's business. You know the kind of town, right? And, you know, I love going back to my little village because, especially in my high school years and my middle school years, I like to sow my oats wildly and profoundly. And so everyone was well aware of that. And I love going back because it's, you know, that standard conversation. Oh, where do you live? You know, do you have family? What do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a pastor. And I love it. I love it. It's one of my favorite moments. The looks on people's faces, the words that come out of their mouth. I remember one police officer, I'm like, you shouldn't talk like that, sir. You know, and it's amazing. But that's not about me. That's about what God is doing, the story that God is writing, that it should surprise us, it should amaze us, as God takes all things and makes them new and redeems them. And so this idea that, you know, it's just about getting what we deserve or getting punished or earning it. Listen, life has consequences. We live in a world that is not as it should be, that there is sin, that there are issues. But we shouldn't live just in that, even as we deal with our own suffering and our own challenges. But instead, look for the new story, the beautiful new story that God is writing, and to enjoy and embrace and to live in that story, and to tell that story over and over again to one another as a source of encouragement and hope and grace. And as a reminder that the God of the universe is the light, and the light is still here and is alive and well. And God is doing a new thing in our lives because he loves us. And so that the world may know his love and his grace. So instead of living in this kind of karma mindset, instead of living in this mindset that we're limited to our suffering and our success and our victory, let us all take the time and the energy to seek the God of the universe and to engage with God and look for the new story, the redeeming, beautiful, powerful, amazing, surprising story that God is writing in us. Because there is great joy and life and hope in that story that is bigger and better than anything the world can throw at us. And if we think carefully, that's the story of the cross, that we are a resurrection people, that we have new life, that the hope of God is with us and in us and is in our world. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day and this chance to come and to worship you. God, help us to live in your story as we try to seek out to live our own lives. God, not to be caught up in our successes, our failures, our suffering, the strange things that happen to us, the challenges that happen to us, but rather to live in your story, to look for the new, redeeming, powerful thing that you're doing in our lives. And God, we thank you for that beautiful story that you continue to write in your world that you love so much.